You can take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God today, we're going to begin in verse 16. I'll read the even verses with you, and I'll read the odd verses by myself as we go through here, through verse 30, beginning in verse 16. Let's read all together, beginning in verse 16. "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to them that have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." I want to talk to you about this subject, the subject of honor. Of honor. Look at verse... I lost it. It's there somewhere. There it is. Verse 23. Look at verse 23. It says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. You know, so this thing of honor, we talked about last Sunday night, about praising God, lifting up our voices and extolling him and glorifying and praising God with our mouth and our lips. We recently, last week, looked at the example of a father, as far as Father's Days go. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to honor our father and mother. You know, this thing of honor today is something that has gone by the wayside, has it not? And it needs to actually be in the forefront instead of in the back of things and left behind. And so Jesus, of course, is going through his back and forth with these that are against him, these Jews, these so-called followers of God. And I love what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Aren't you a master of Israel and you don't know these things? You're supposed to have known the scriptures. You're supposed to see this stuff. You're supposed to recognize it if anybody's going to. Because Jesus had come and he was fulfilling all these prophecies, left and right, fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And these signs and these miracles and these workings were all the things that the Jews required to see of the Messiah, the one who was sent from God. We see this difficulty going back and forth and this conversation. And in verse 19, he answers them and he tells them, hey, I'm not just a lone wolf here. I'm not just doing this on my own. I'm following the example of the Father. I'm following what God the Father has showed me and told me and given me to do. He said, my Father worketh hitherto and I work. He's like, this is my example, so I'm following it. You see how that works? And he says, the Son can do nothing of himself in verse 19, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. You know, on some days, I ask my sons this question. And then other days, I'm glad that they don't do things that I do. Okay? That's the human side of me, that we do some things right and some things wrong. That's understood. But God, of course, is perfect. He does nothing wrong. All right. So, this is the principle. So Jesus Christ, as the Son, he is doing these works and doing these things that God has given him to do. And God wants the Son to be honored. Why is that? Because he's God and of God, and they're one, right? These three bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We believe in a triune God. You know, we ought to honor God, right? And if we're going to honor God, we should honor the Son, who is God, right? So we honor the Son, we honor God. And we ought to honor the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer. Because he's the person of God that's here on earth while God the Father is on the throne. And right now, in the Bible tells us that the Son is on his right hand, waiting for this time to pass of... And whenever that is, it's going to come. That trumpet's going to sound and all these things are going to happen and such and so forth. But we ought to learn this idea. As Jesus gets through this talking that he's doing with these Pharisees, he's making a point that he's not the one doing these things all by himself. It is indicated and exampled by the Father. He says, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son of Man, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now, I bet you that really burned them right there, didn't it? They don't like that. Who are you to judge us? You're just a man, just like us. Newsflash, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's the Son of God. But then he says the word, if there's a colon there, and again, as much as I use English, I guess I should love it a little bit more, but somebody sent me a cool thing on a picture. Who was it that showed me that picture? Was that somebody here? Show me the picture. Oh, Morgan showed me this picture. Yeah. It had a picture of a stack of paper this big and a stack of paper this big. And it said over the caption of the one that's this big says the rules of English. And over the stack of the one this big, it says the exceptions to the rules. That's perfect. I need to get that printed and framed and put in my office. I mean, because that's how it goes, isn't it? But as much as I pick on English, can I tell you something? When I was in Christian education, there were, as you can imagine, in a small Christian school, there are going to be times whereas the principal, the administrator, if you will, that was my title, you're going to do more than just principal and more than just administrate. Just for lack of different things and circumstances and such and so forth. So over the course of 16 years, I literally taught every grade and every subject in every grade at some point in time or another. All right. And one year I was stuck teaching 7th and 8th grade English. Okay, I think that was a purgatory or something like that. I'm not sure what it was. Maybe a punishment for some wrong I had done. I must have really sinned against God deeply because of that punishment. It was terrible. No, but it actually was enlightening, honestly and truly. As much as I tease about English, it does have a purpose. Amen. As I studied the eight parts of speech, and how all the punctuations work, and what things modify this, and what things modify that, and what things complement this, and what things do to this, and what things do to... Listen, you know what it did? It actually helped me in my Bible reading. Because then I really knew what God was trying to say. You say, what do you mean? You couldn't read before? Well, no, I could read before. And I did take classes in elementary and high school, and I have two college degrees. All right? And so it wasn't that. But you don't really kind of understand something until you teach it. You understand? You say, no, because we haven't taught it yet. Okay, well, then teach it to somebody. That colon there is, it has a purpose. He says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. It's not a period. It's not an end of the thought. There's a colon there. It means there's more to it than just that particular beginning. So there's verse 23 is a continuation. And he uses the word that. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. So all of that introduction just simply said, to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, to reverence, to manifest the highest veneration for, in word and action, to entertain the most exalted thoughts of, to worship and to adore the Son, even as you do the Father. That's what the word honor means. Those things need to be in our lives toward Jesus Christ. It ought to be evident. It ought to be there in every aspect of our lives. You say, well, what is it that I should do that to bring honor to Jesus, or to show honor to Jesus? I'm glad you asked that question, because that's what we're going to talk about for the next 20 minutes or so. First of all, take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, look at verse 8. It says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, capital L, that's important, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. One of the ways that we can honor God and honor the Son with our lives
is by being saved. Being saved. Salvation honors God. Did you know that? Hey, don't you remember what the Bible says? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When a lost sinner realizes that they are lost and undone, without hope, condemned already in their trespasses and sins, comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and puts all that aside and comes to Jesus in repentance and faith for salvation. Did you know that honors God? That honors God. Because in doing so, we have respect to Him. Because what does God say is necessary for salvation? Coming through Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. You see, God wants us to be saved. He sent His Son. Don't you remember the verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So when we come to Christ, that brings honor to God. And can I tell you something else? When someone goes out and tells someone else about Christ, and they trust Christ, guess what that does? It brings honor to God. When people are saved, it honors God and it honors the Son. Because who are we trusting in? The Son. We're trusting in the Son. God the Son has given us salvation, and to receive it honors Him. One day in heaven, these saints and these 10,000s and thousands of thousands are going to be giving honor and glory and blessing to the Lamb that was slain. And to God the Father that sent Him to be the Savior of us all. Over in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily goeth into the mountains and..." "And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." It honors God when those lost are saved. We ought to honor God by trusting His salvation. Okay, listen. If I trust this salvation of the church, you know, like I'm trusting a church. I'm a member. Why are you going to heaven? Well, I'm a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Well, then where does the honor go? To the church. Is that where it's supposed to go? Not at all. Well, I'm trusting such and such religion. Well, where does the honor go? To such and such religion. Not to God. Well, I'm trusting baptism. So where does it go? Where does honor go? Then to the baptism. Didn't Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me"? So guess what? If I say, "Well, why are you going to heaven?" "Well, I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved me." Where's the honor going? To Jesus. Because that's who is worthy of honor. The Son. So we honor Him by being saved. We also honor Him by showing other people how to be saved. And when people are saved, that honors God. It honors the Son, it honors the Father. And that's what we're supposed to do with our lives. In Luke 15, chapter 15, verse 10, it says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There's joy. There's joy. There's honor given to God. We read that in Revelation chapter 5. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're talking about honoring God. Showing reverence and respect and submission. Manifested in words and actions. In our thoughts. In our adoration. And worship. By choosing Christ. By choosing the way of salvation. It honors God. Are you there in 1 John 4? Look what it says. Beloved, let us love one another. For God is love. I skipped my spot again. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You know what that is? That's bringing honor to God. It's bringing honor to the Son. When someone confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, because God loved us, we did not love him. He so loved us that he gave his Son. And we should accept his gift of eternal life. And by accepting that gift, we in turn are honoring God and the Son because of receiving salvation. Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Another way we can honor God, we're told to honor the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Are you there in James chapter 4? Look at verse 5. It says, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You know what else we can do to honor God? Not only be saved, but also submit to his authority. When we submit ourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives, to the authority of God in our lives, that shows honor to him. When one submits to another, you know what that is? You are honoring them. You are in submission to them. You are showing them honor and respect and reverence. Is that not what we should do? Hey, guess what? We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We don't own us anymore. He's the owner. We're the manager. Guess what a good manager does? Submits to the owner. You know what that does? That brings honor to the owner. Is not God the owner of your life? Should we not submit to him? Did not the Scripture say, submit yourselves therefore to God? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Hey, are we supposed to take that honor upon ourselves? This is my life. I'm going to live it how I want to. I'm going to live it to honor me. Can we do that? The answer is yes, we can. Should we do that? No. No. Because it's not about honoring me. It's about honoring God. Why? Because I've been bought with a price. I'm not my own. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And by being saved, that showed honor to God and honor to the Son. And by my submission to His will and to His way and to His thoughts and to His book, that brings honor to God. And it brings honor to the Son. How are we doing in this way of honoring God by submission? Are we still stuck in our own ways? Our own thoughts? Our own ideas? Or are we submitting to the Word of God? Over in Romans chapter 6, Paul says this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And I love this question, and I love how he puts it so eloquently. We talked about this in Sunday school. Paul was good. He's a top-line tool for the Lord. Amen? Top shelf. Brand name. He says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Hey, listen, you're dead to it. You've been saved. You've been born again. You're a new creature in Christ. How is it that you're dead to sin, but you're still living in it? How's that possible? He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That's pretty permanent, isn't it? Yeah, I think so. That henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we, being dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield. What is that word yield? Submit. Don't submit your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. You know what honors God? Salvation honors God. You know what honors God? Submission honors God. When we submit ourselves to God, it brings honor to the Father and the Son. Well, in Romans chapter 12, you've heard this verse. You know this verse. You could probably, all with your eyes closed, quote it with me, can't you? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that? Submission. And what is submission? It's our reasonable service. Reasonable service. We're dead to that old life. We're not supposed to dwell any longer therein. We're supposed to yield ourselves, our members, as instruments of righteousness unto God. Not instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. It brings honor to God when we submit to Him. Hey, listen. I'm not asking you to submit to me. Or submit to the things that this church says are true. We're just asking what the Bible asks us to do, and that's submit to God. And what He says is true. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to help this church in Corinth, saying, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what an ambassador is? They're a representative of their country. And they're true to their country. Aren't they not? They're supposed to be. Are you true to your country? And I'm not talking about America, folks. I'm talking about that other country. Because we're just sojourners here. We're not of this world. This world's not my home. I love that song. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are lit up somewhere beyond the blue. You know, that we're not here to live for ourselves. It brings honor to God when we're submitted to Him and to His ways. God wants us to bring honor to the Father. God wants us to bring honor to the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. There's one more area that I think that we can talk about honor. Not only by salvation and by submission, but by sanctification. That's a big word, isn't it? Sanctification. You know what it means? To be set apart. To be set apart. You know what? When something's set apart, it has a particular purpose. You know, there are things in our lives that we use for this or for that, right? And that's what they're to be used for. How many of you have dishes, right? At your house, okay? My wife's kind of finicky about these things. The people dishes are for people. That's a good thing, right? And animal dishes are not for people. They're for animals. Or dishes that are used for something else. For instance, if I have a problem and I need to go unclog the drain in my house. Do you know how often I have to do that? Can you imagine? Okay? with 10 females in my house, or 10, 11, 11, no, 12, how many? I don't know. Lots of them. 10. It is 10. Okay, I thought so. That's right. Okay. I got it. I apologize. There's so many I had to count. And if you've seen my little blondies running around here, I got a lot of hair to clean out of the clogged drains, okay? So if I'm, you know, there's an emergency and the sink is backed up and I got to get the drain weasel or whatever I've got lately, or the big old, you know, Roto-Rooter thingy or if I got to go underneath there and undo all the plumbing and everything else. If I were to go into the kitchen and get one of my wife's nice mixing bowls, okay, and to use that for that project, well, would it solve my problem? It would solve that problem, but create another one. Because that's not what that bowl is for. And you know what she would do? She'd be like, I don't ever want to use that in my kitchen again. Do you know the nastiness that you put in there? And now you want me to use it to cook your food? She might just cook my food in it and then let everybody else to get me back. But you know what? That's not what it's been set apart for, a particular thing. You know what? I love knives. Knives are great. But did you know that knives really aren't screwdrivers? Okay, screwdrivers are screwdrivers. Knives are knives. And it's really hard. I mean, in a pinch, I'll use a knife as a screwdriver. But can I tell you something? It generally can cause some damage to that knife. And that's not a good thing, because I like my knives. I enjoy them as knives, not screwdrivers. I have screwdrivers for screwdrivers and knives for knives. Why is that? Because they are sanctified. They're set apart for a particular thing. You know what honors? It honors God when we who have been set apart for a purpose fulfill that purpose. Do you not want to fulfill the purpose that God has for you? You know, God created you. He made you. He knows you. And He's designed you to be something. We talked about it earlier, about being submissive and being a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. He's got a perfect will of God for our lives. He wants us to accomplish something. He has a purpose for our lives, a direction for our lives. And when we fulfill it, we honor God. We honor God. In John 17, Jesus said this, "And now come I to thee," speaking of the Father, "and these things I speak in the world, that they might have joy, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Folks, we're sanctified for a purpose. And through the truth of the word of God, we have been set apart, that the world may believe that thou hast sent him. Be the Savior of the world. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It honors God when we're set apart for a purpose and fulfill it. When we show to the generations to come the wonderful works of God. When we let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, we need to be that gospel light. We need to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to go and be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and that's the uttermost part of the earth. We've been set apart for a purpose. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3. You've listened well today, and my 20 minutes went faster than it was supposed to. Look at Colossians chapter 3. I love this passage of scripture. In Christian school, I had the kids memorize this, along with the other chapters in Colossians. For this particular one, I really enjoyed. It says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now, for sake of time, you can read through the rest of the chapter. But isn't that enough, those first few verses? When Christ, who is our life. We know that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then listen, salvation honors God. Submission to God honors God. And sanctification honors God. Because we've been set apart for a purpose. And when we fulfill that purpose, it brings honor and glory and blessing and praise to God. Our lives are but for the purpose of bringing honor to our God. Does he not deserve honor? Does he not deserve reverence? Does he not deserve respect? Does he not deserve adoration, exaltation, worship? I love that word. That's an old word. We don't use it much anymore. The highest veneration for. That's a good one. I bet your brother Losi has put that on his word blog thing at some point in time. But in word and action and thought, we need to learn to truly honor